Now I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through the living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So this past week was a very strange week. I'm guessing it was probably a little strange for you all as well. We had a Labor Day weekend consumed with what may arrive. And we got Friday's forecast of Dorian as a Category 2 sitting right on top of Jacksonville. Schools were declared closed for the 2 days after the Labor Day weekend. The entire state began to prepare, not knowing where this hurricane would go. And the question in our home, the Driscoll home, was, are we prepared enough? Every time we'd watch the news, we'd think, do we have enough? We discussed water provisions, gasoline in cars, food, ice, whether we should buy a generator. We used to have a generator that worked. It no longer works, so we had that deliberation. Between Friday and Tuesday, I went to Publix 7 times. 1 day, 3 times in a row. We endured the last 2 days of waiting as Dorian did the unexpected, parking himself over the Bahamas. And since that 40-hour stall was unexpected, his future course also was subject to anxious discussion, at least in our house. Where's he going to go? The newscasters weren't sure because they didn't expect that. Every few hours, we checked in on the news. We'd turn it off, and then we'd set a timer, and we'd turn it back on. From that Friday until the following Wednesday evening, we watched the cone of uncertainty, as we called it, slowly shift across the state, ultimately ending up over the ocean, not touching land in Florida. And the feeling was really strange at our house Wednesday evening. We were relieved that Dorian had missed a direct hit on our region, not really impacting inland Jacksonville at all. We barely got wind, barely got rain in Riverside. And there was a strange letdown because we were not hit by Dorian, as if we wanted that excitement or that terror. Was that true for any of you? It was strange. We didn't celebrate Dorian's miss, mainly due to the mass destruction we knew the Bahamas had endured. And I just want to stop right now and pray for them. 40 hours of 120 plus mile an hour winds. Lord Jesus, we cry out to you for mercy on all those on the Bahama Islands. We pray for those that are seeking the injured and seeking the lost. Give them eyes, give them ears. Help the dogs to find those that are in need. Comfort those who are mourning, Lord Jesus. Pray your church would be vibrant there, caring for their neighbors. And we pray all of this relief effort would actually get there. I thank you for the Anglican Relief Development Fund. I pray that all funds there would go right to the island. We ask these things, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen. There are two aspects of last week's Dorian preparation that I wanted to relate to our readings today. I'm putting off one of them until Tuesday for senior lunch, and that's where we're going to talk about the cone of uncertainty and how that can be seen in our scriptures. This morning, we're going to take a look at counting the cost. Focus our attention there. So I invite you to open your blue Bibles to page 874 or your own Bibles to Luke chapter 14 so you can follow along. Page 874, beginning with verse 25. This setting occurs somewhere in the middle of Jesus' 3 years of ministry, before his execution and before his resurrection. So I'm guessing somewhere between 1 and 2 years into his ministry. With all of that time behind him, in this context, Jesus has great fame, great recognition throughout the region. And in verse 25, we see great crowds accompanying him. Multitudes of people, hundreds, maybe thousands, following after him. Now, we talk as Christians about following Jesus. That's what they were doing. They were following him, waiting for what's next. He turned and faced the multitudes. And look ahead to verse 33. And let's read his concluding statement together. So, therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Any of you, he says to the crowds, that do not renounce all that you are, all that you have, cannot be my disciple. The crowds were following him around. But if you follow Jesus' logic here, they had not counted the cost. They had not paid the price to be his disciple. They were just following him. Leading up to this statement that we just read in verse 33, Jesus gave a few illustrations as to what counting the cost or renouncing all that they had might look like. Verse 26, let's read this verse together. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Sounds a little harsh, doesn't it? We know that Jesus taught obedience to all of the commandments, which included honor your father and your mother. He never advocated for suicide, hating your own life. So what's this about? Well, that Greek word translated hate carries with it in this context a sense of rejection. To be his disciple, one must reject their family's prominence in their lives. You must be willing to reject hate, your family's identity. You must be willing to fully reject that identity, to take on the identity, the new identity of Jesus' disciple. Verse 27 continues with yet another illustration. Let's read that together. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. To be my disciple, one must be prepared to bear, to hold the weight of, and to carry their own cross as they would follow. There's a cost to following Jesus as a disciple. Now, this picture ties nicely to our former discussion of preparation for Hurricane Dorian, because all of Jacksonville sought to prepare, I would think. Counting the cost in preparing, it was only 2 years ago when we lost power some neighborhoods for a number of days, some neighborhoods longer than that. They prepared, they counted the cost so they might endure the storm and the potential aftermath of downed trees, inability to get around, and loss of power. Following Jesus around, that's easy, just as following the storm was easy. Just turn on your TV. But preparing to endure and survive, that takes effort and lots of trips to Publix. Living as Jesus' disciple involves preparation. It involves commitment, discipline, endurance. Living as Jesus' disciple carries a cost. Jesus makes it clear. And then Jesus paints two pictures in the next verses. One of a failed building project due to lack of planning and preparation, where the one who set out to build but didn't count the cost was ridiculed. Then the second of wartime preparations, declaring the importance of planning and measuring the cost before engaging in battle, or engaging in any kind of a plan for that matter. And that is what leads us to Jesus' climactic statement in verse 33. So therefore, Jesus says, any one of you who does not renounce all that they have cannot be my disciple. 2 weeks ago, my sermon discussed Luke 13, one chapter earlier, verse 24. Jesus' declaration that the door to eternal life in his name was narrow, and that few, not many, would pass through. It was a stark and attention-grabbing image that Jesus used of a narrow door, that not everyone would be saved, but only a few. And it was even more shocking when Jesus, in that story in Luke 13, declared some who expected to be saved, they expected to go through that door, were not allowed through and were locked out. Jesus now builds on the reality of faith as a narrow door, challenging those who seek to live as his disciples to count the cost of following him and to renounce and reject other identities, other positions, other possessions that might distract them, that might keep them from experiencing the true life that he offers them as his disciples. There's a cost, but there's a reward of new, unending, eternal life with hope and peace not available in this world. Jesus told these parables and gave these illustrations with the purpose of challenging all who listened to picture themselves in the stories. And that reality holds true today. God's word is living and active, and it speaks, and it cries out to each of you today, if you're listening. What kind of Jesus follower are you? Are you simply following behind him like the crowds, acknowledging he's something special, but not yet believing him as Lord and Savior and Master? Or are you following him, allowing his words to change and convict you? Are you hearing his words and allowing them to bring change and healing to your life? Change and adjustment to your priorities. Ultimately, Jesus' challenge points back to that narrow door. If you're unwilling to embrace Jesus' challenge, if you're unwilling to renounce your desires and your priorities for his way of life, then connecting the dots, you may unexpectedly find yourself outside of that narrow door or find yourself as a tree in his garden that bears no fruit. Clearly in this passage, there's a price for keeping your own priorities, for keeping your own values over the ones that Jesus invites you to take on. And this is a challenging passage. It's one that brings conviction to me every time I read it, inviting me to examine my life and then to re-examine my life each time I read it. And I shared with you all not long ago that 6 months ago, the Lord got my attention regarding my use of alcohol for self-medication. And that was a long journey. It was a journey that began years before with the Lord sometimes prompting me as I was trying to take the edge off, why don't you turn to me? Why are you turning there? Or prompting me, you know, seems like you're drinking every night now, Bill. What are you running from? Why won't you turn to me? And that culminated with this Lent. And it had the same sense of verse 33. Jesus challenging me to renounce my right to partake in alcohol. We had quite a few arguments. There's nothing wrong. Not hurting anybody, but he was asking me. Renounce your right in favor of depending on me, Jesus asked me, so that I might seek him in my anxious or stressed or insecure moments. And that's part of my story. A continuing story of God asking me to renounce, God asking me to let go of my former identities or priorities and turning to him. This afternoon, I have another opportunity to renounce my identity as a Steelers fan and declare allegiance to the undefeated and first place Jaguars. What's the Lord challenging you to renounce? It may be a family identity. It may be a cultural identity. It may be sin which you have chosen to embrace and rationalize. It may be something that you own or something that owns you. Jesus this morning implores you to hear his voice and to heed his challenge. If you are a follower of Jesus like the crowds, you may hear these challenges, but never allow them past your ears into your heart. You'll hear them and then just keep following. You may miss out on the new and true life and hope that Jesus offers you through his narrow door. If you are a follower of Jesus like the disciples, then you'll joyfully walk with him. You'll readily spend time with his living word. You'll regularly allow his words to convict, to challenge, to ask you to question, and then to bring change to your life. God's gift of new and eternal life in Jesus is offered to everyone, to every one of you. But there's a choice to be made, the choice to receive that gift, to open it and live into it, or to reject it, to set it aside, to never open it, to acknowledge it, move on. Our passage from Deuteronomy perfectly encapsulates this choice and what it means. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, the Lord declares, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." And in verse 19, God continues, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life." The Lord implores his people, and he implores you this morning. Choose life that you may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him. For he is your life, and he is your length of days. He is your hope, and your healing, and your salvation. To live with faith in Jesus Christ as his disciple is a choice between life and good and death and evil. To renounce all that you are, as Jesus declared to the crowds. To renounce all that you have. To daily heed his invitation to his way of life. That's a choice between life and blessing and death and a cursed existence. Therefore, choose life, church. Choose life that you may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For Jesus is your life and your length of days. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.